So again, let's pray. So Father God, we thank you for the great gift of your word. Please speak to us from this amazing chapter in Jonah now. In your great name, amen. Well, last year in Buckinghamshire, there was a couple who decided to have a romantic night in. So they had a nice dinner. It wasn't done in the microwave. And it was followed by coffee in the sitting room. And they thought, actually, the lighting in here is a bit too bright. Let's make it a bit more romantic. So they decided to light a candle. They couldn't find a decent candle holder, but they thought, oh, well, never mind. We'll make do. We'll just prop the candle there on the mantelpiece. And they let it burn. And then the effects of the wine started to take effect. They felt a bit sleepy. So they decided to go upstairs for an early night. And they left the candle burning. But you can see where this is going. The smoke alarm luckily woke them up. They heard that warning and they dashed out of the house, phoning 999 as they went. And luckily the house was saved. Of course, they were saved. They were saved because they listened to the warning. And in many ways, that's a reflection on what we read about in Jonah chapter 3. There's a warning. There's a response to the warning. And people are saved. But you know, the thing about, when the fire brigade warn us not to leave candles burning unattended, they're not just saying that for the sake of it. They know there is a real danger with leaving candles burning. Unfortunately, some people ignore the warning. And the problem is we so often do the same with sin, don't we? We ignore the warning. And so my first point today is that sometimes we think sin doesn't really matter, but be warned, it does. Sin is very serious indeed. We think sin doesn't matter, but it does, so be warned. So we've seen already in verse 1 of chapter 3, it's on page 928 if you want to follow it in the Bibles at the sides of the pews. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It's exactly what happened at the start of chapter 1. Only this time, Jonah is a changed person, and this time he goes to Nineveh. He doesn't disobey. But what is the actual warning he takes? Well, it's there in verse 4. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That is a severe warning, isn't it? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. So we ask, well, yeah, what's wrong with poor old Nineveh? Well, back in chapter 1 at the beginning, we were told it is a very wicked city. And just let's remind ourselves from other parts of the Bible and from history just how wicked the city was. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Assyrian, not Syrian. And they were brutal. They would slaughter nations they took over. Any captives left over, they would probably relocate. They would make slaves of them. They would do torture. There's all sorts of details which are just so grisly I don't want to go into. So let's just say the people of Nineveh were not nice at all. Quite the contrary. But then they even started turning on themselves. They started defrauding each other. They started showing a lack of justice in their own city. And it's because of this that God proclaims judgment. We've got to remember that God says he'll destroy the city because sin matters. And God is holy. God is a righteous God. We often forget about that, but God is righteous and he is the judge. We don't often like thinking of God being judge, but he is. And in fact, as I've said before, that's a good thing. You imagine the police catch an armed gang robbing a bank. That armed gang are put on trial. What should the judge do? What would we want a judge to do? We'd want them to send them down, so to speak. You know, we would want them to go to prison. We'd want them to pay for the crime. But somehow we've got into this thinking that, well, God shouldn't judge our own sin. He just let us away with it. I don't know why we think that, but we often do, don't we? We downplay our sin, pretending it's not that serious. And sometimes I think we've turned God into kind of an old grandfather figure who just sits there, you know, quietly smiling at his grandchildren, you know, doesn't really matter how naughty they get up to, you know, he'll just smile sweetly and give them some sweets afterwards. Or we might think, oh, well God's going to forgive us if I sin. I mean, God's a forgiving God. I mean, that's his business. We downplay our sin. Yes, of course, as we'll see in a bit, that God does save, he does forgive. But we must not think God's gone soft. He's still the judge. And sin matters. He's holy and just. And it's good that sin matters. The consequences of sin are awful. Sin breaks up families. Sin breaks down society. Sin hurts people. We only have to see like the knife crime going on at the moment. Back in Jonah chapter 3, we see the consequences. 40 more days and the city will be overturned. It will be destroyed. And it's not just the God of the Old Testament. He's the same as the God in the New Testament. We get the same warnings. Just give you one example. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. For those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. That chapter talks about a day of judgment, as do most of the books in the New Testament. There will be a day where we have to stand before God and give an account. And sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that God's judgment is like a large set of scales, you know. Well, if I do more good deeds, it'll outweigh the bad deeds, and therefore God will accept me. But let's just think again about how daft an idea that is. Somebody commits a bank robbery and steals £10 million. There they are in front of the judge. And the judge says, you're found guilty. I'm going to sentence you. Oh, hang on. I did help three old ladies over the road, across the road yesterday. I'm doing a cycle ride for Cambodia. Sure, you've got to take that into account. What would the judge do? No. You stole £10 million. You need to pay for that crime. We will all stand before the judgment of God. So don't be fooled. Sometimes we think sin doesn't matter, but be warned, it does. And you know who spoke more about hell than anyone else in the Bible? Jesus. We saw this at Christianity Explored last week. Mark chapter 10. Jesus says, sin is so serious that if our hand causes to sin, it's better to have it chopped off and go into eternal life without a hand and go to hell. Or if our foot causes us to sin, better to chop it off and go into heaven maimed than miss out. Or if our eye, really gross on this, causes us to sin, gouge it out. It's better to go into the kingdom of God with just one eye. And Jesus' point is, look, sin is serious. But let's not panic. Let's come to my second point. And what the people of Nineveh do, they repent. But as we come to this point, let me say, repentance is not an optional extra. And the people of Nineveh recognised that. They couldn't just say, sorry God, they had to change. So if you look at verse 5, yes, they declare a fast. All of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Those are signs of repentance. But what does the king go on to say a couple of verses later? Verse 8. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. That's repentance. It's changed. The word actually means turn around. If you're going away from God, turn around. If you're doing these wicked things, stop doing them, turn back to God. And John the Baptist puts it very clearly in Luke chapter 3. When people are asking, well, what do we need to do, when he's calling people to repent? What should we do then? The crowd asked John the Baptist. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to do, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pain. It's a lifestyle change. It's going God's way, no longer our way. Last week I talked about cheap grace. Cheap grace is the idea that, I want to accept the nice bit of, oh, Jesus loves me, he'll forgive me. But we don't want to do the repentance. We don't want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We don't want to bother worshipping him weekly. But we'll just say, well, I'm a Christian because Jesus died for me. No. What does Jesus say at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15? The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Not just believe the good news, repent and believe the good news. Repentance is not an optional extra. When the woman caught in adultery, do you remember that wonderful story in Romans 8? She's caught in adultery, everyone wants to stone her, and Jesus says, anyone here who is without sin may cast the first stone. They all wander away. And Jesus says to the woman, I do not condemn you. Now get up. And then he says, leave your life of sin. Our God saves, but he says, leave our life of sin. Repentance is not an optional extra. When I was first doing Discovering Christianity, way back in about 1988, I think it was, investigating the Christian faith, my leader told me of somebody who was doing a different Discovering Christianity series, and this person really was convinced by the truth of the Christian faith. He says, this is marvellous. I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe Jesus died for me. But you know what? I don't want to give up my lifestyle. He liked going out partying, drinking, pulling girls, and he didn't want to stop doing that. And so he went on his way. There is a happy ending. A few weeks later, he was crossing a railway bridge, and for some reason he just stopped. And he was suddenly overcome by his sense of unworth before God. And he did then repent. But he recognized that if you're going to be a Christian, you can't rely on cheap grace. Repentance is not an optional extra. But let's finish on a really good note as we think about the overwhelming love of God. I just want to say, get this thing clear, God is not some big nasty out to smite people. I think many people outside the church might think that, because God does judge sin. We sometimes think that he's sort of sitting at his cosmic computer, watching out, and suddenly Brenda does a sin. And he pushes the smite button. God is not like that, is he? Why did he send Jonah to Nineveh? It was with a message of judgment, but he could have just judged them, couldn't he? He sent Jonah because he wanted Nineveh to turn and be saved. Why did God send Jesus into the world? To warn us about our sin problem, but also to die on the cross so our sins could be forgiven, so we could turn and be saved. God does not want anyone to perish. And the New Testament is full of these wonderful parables of the overwhelming, the reckless love of God. The parable of the lost sheep. It's so simple, but it's so profound. God leaves the 99 and goes seeking the one who's gone astray. He doesn't want anyone to perish. The same with the lost coin. That lady won't rest till she's found the lost coin. And the prodigal son, when the son repents, comes to his senses and turns back to the father comes running. The overwhelming love of God. He does not want anyone to perish, which is why he warns us. But he warns us that sin does matter. Repentance is not an option. But turn, repent, believe the gospel, and yes, you'll be saved. Eternal life, where all bad things, all sin, is a thing of the past. That's what we're saved for. We're saved to be holy people. Not people who just trust in Jesus and go on sinning. It's a wonderful, wonderful message, isn't it? Nineveh. Who would have thought that the people of Nineveh would have turned? No one's too far gone. But of course, God had to call Jonah and send him. And he calls the church with this message. There's an uncomfortable part of the message. Sin matters. Repentance is not an option. But the great part of the message is, no one's too far gone. We can all be saved for eternal life. What's stopping us going out on mission as Jonah went? Let's pray. Father God, just pray that we see the seriousness of sin, the necessity of repentance, but thank you that Jesus came to pay the cost for us. Help us to pick up our crosses, to follow him in his footsteps. Thank you that you are a God of justice who cares passionately for what is right, and thank you that you're putting this world to right. Please take us and use us to spread the good news. Our God saves. Amen.